My father told me when I was a child, people in authority lie. And we all, if we are going to continue to live in a democracy, we need to understand that people in authority lie. People in authority will abuse every power that we relinquish to them. And right now, we are giving them the power to micromanage every bit of our lives 24 hours a day. They're going to know where we are. They're going to know the money that we spend. They're going to have access to our children. They're going to have the right to compel unwanted medical interventions on us. We, you know, the Nazis did that in the camps in World War II. They tested vaccines on gypsies and Jews. And the world was so horrified after the war that we signed the Nuremberg Charter. And we all pledged when we do that, we would never again impose unwanted medical interventions on human beings without informed consent. And yet in 2 years, all of that conviction has suddenly disappeared. And people are walking around in masks where the science has not been explained to them. They are doing what they're told. They are these government agencies are orchestrating obedience. And it is not democratic. It's not the product of democracy. It's the product of a pharmaceutical-driven biosecurity agenda that will enslave the entire human race and plunge us into a dystopian nightmare where the apocalyptical forces of ignorance and greed will be running our lives and ruining our children and destroying all the dreams and dignity that we hope to give to our children.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Sunday, July 4th, 2021. I don't know why the camera's starting out of that's funny, but always a day to make some comments on. Very important. Now, of course, the clip you saw there today was RFK Jr. RFK Jr. speaking about where we are today, about how important the reality of where we are is today. That clip was shared by Patrick Henningsen, which I'll show you in a moment. But, you know, to me, today, I'm not really sure why, but I'm not really in the spirit of celebrating independence from tyranny. I don't know why exactly. What do you think? Maybe I'm not in the right mindset to celebrate something that I don't feel we're actually existing in today. Now, whether you thought that was happening before, I don't see why anybody today in this current situation would be celebrating freedom from tyranny while we're literally living under a tyrannical government. Now, you can believe that that's the right direction, but it's a little bit ridiculous to be waving your flags and jumping around and screaming about something that we currently are not living in. And it's quite ridiculous. Now, that does not mean we should not be proud of something that, you know, historically speaking, there's a bunch of reasons that we should discuss and talk about the history of this country and the meaning behind it and what that has become in the hearts of Americans, whether or not that actual history is valid, correct, or even accurate. The point is that it's become real for Americans. Now, today is obviously the 4th of July and the idea of freedom and a declaration of independence from a tyrannical government are, of course, what people are out there celebrating. Yet we have our illusions, our preconceived and entirely engineered notions of what freedom actually means today. Except the term freedom is not really up for debate, is it? It's quite clear, in fact. The exact definition is the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. It's pretty clear. Despite this very clear definition, how it is perceived has seriously changed over the years, which is by no means an accident. I think we all know that. The Declaration of Independence set forth the ideal. All people have been endowed by nature and the creator with certain inalienable rights. That is, rights that cannot be taken away or destroyed by anyone, including one's own government. In fact, as the Declaration points out, the purpose of government that they've seemed to have forgotten is to protect the exercise of these rights, not infringe upon, alter, or destroy them in any way for any reason or justification. Now, most of the Founding Fathers did not before and certainly did not after truly embody and live these ideals, which is likely due in part to a lack of a desire to do so, meaning some may not have truly believed what they signed. But it's also in part, and I would like to believe it's the larger part, due to the reality that the framers were simply striving to achieve a society that reflected the values in the Declaration. Not that they could just sign a piece of paper, snap their fingers, and the world would all of a sudden be just. We did then, and still do now, need to work toward the creation of this world, and then work to maintain it. Now today, the idea of freedom is muddled, intentionally so, with the idea of safety, security, convenience. We've been conditioned to forget that the country was founded on the essential ideals of limited government and freedom of choice in every regard, which absolutely comes with a measure of danger, something I talk about all the time. The world is not without its dangers, and no government presence, authoritarian or otherwise, can ever remove that danger from our lives. It can only replace it with one of its own creation, which is entirely the point and what we see being created today. The ideas of limited government and freedom of choice should not be misunderstood, however, as the allowance of that which society deems unacceptable or worthy of repercussion or exile. But the point being that such choices were always meant to be society's and not that of an uncontrollable, unaccountable, technocratic oligarchy, which is what we see happening today. In a truly free society, that which the founders were arguably aiming to achieve, there will be flaws, faults, mistakes. But those are ours to make as a community and not to be overseen or entirely overcome by a faceless ruling entity that has no real understanding of what each specific community holds dear or ultimately values. If said community that we're discussing falls victim to corruption or manipulation, if we see these things take place, it's the right of the community, of you, to remove those doing the manipulation, as is our inherent right, as outlined by the Constitution. And point in fact, even in regard to the federal government itself, the simple realization that such a right has just been removed from possibility should show us how illusory our freedom truly is today. People have been convinced by a manipulative government that it's wrong of them to point out the faults of that government, when in fact, it's our very duty to do so. This is something I talk about incessantly. I love this country, despite what the jingoistic sycophants out there might say, and everything I do, as hopefully you all can see, is in service to the United States as well as the rest of the world. But you see, when I say the United States, many immediately think government, which would make the Founding Fathers cringe. There are two very different things, and many powerful people have worked very hard to make you forget that they are different, separate, not the same thing. I fight for the people of the United States and the people of the world, not the governments that those people allow to be in power. So again, I love this country, as hopefully you can now see, is not the same thing as saying I love this government. Unquestioningly supporting the actions of your government is not patriotism. This is subservience. And saying so does not dishonor all the men and women who have been deceived by the state, as many of them truly believe that their actions were in the service of good. Something I often say on different holidays celebrating veterans and other discussions that we've had. A lot of these people truly believe what they're doing was the right thing, the honorable thing. It doesn't mean that then doing so is necessarily, I was checking the chat, I apologize, I'm worried the sound was off for a second. It doesn't mean that those people doing so should be demonized because they made a choice that they were manipulated into. Doesn't mean everybody's in that position. A lot of them truly believe that they were doing something in the service of good, even though more than you might think out there have come home with quite a different perspective about the reality of war, which they then hide in a corner. Now, patriotism is being critical of your government with every decision that they make, regardless of one's political affiliation. That was what this country was founded on. And that which has been stolen from us with every passing moment that we watch the escalation of what's happening in front of us. The years of subtle and not so subtle conditioning that has led us to this point. Our duty is to our fellow Americans, not the government officials who we are supposed to be putting in place. Yet, of course, that's been stolen from us as well. Now, to say it's un-American to question your government is to say that we are here to serve it and not the other way around. Now, I know without a doubt that's how they see us, but certainly that just cannot be the way that you see it, especially on a day that celebrates your supposed independence from tyranny. Yet this is what we're told, as today's Uber Americans shout us down for questioning foreign wars, starvation campaigns, and coercively technocratic domestic policy alike. We must shake free from this statist mentality that turns us on ourselves, which we are watching happen in front of us. Now, part of that is something that I've written in the past, that it was so prescient about where we are now that I thought it was important to let you hear that again with a couple of extra additions. Now, I think it's important for us to realize that we are all being manipulated, all of us. We all have our perceptions about one thing or the other that we're applying to the way we see the world. And it's only those of us that can stand back and recognize that we could be wrong are the ones that are able to see through what's happening about the government, because they are using our false certainty. They're using the two-party illusion and creating hate amongst ourselves. And until we can stop that, until we can see past that, this is going to continue. And on a day like today, it's the most important day to point that out. As much as they try to make it about, to make it unpatriotic, to make it treasonous even, to state the reality. Now, for those of you that don't care about all of that, let's jump into the reaction, the reality of the world today and what's going on. Now, this was the clip that I played to start. Shout out to Patrick Henningsen, because this is a really important clip. Now, I want you to remember this clip as we get to the end of the show, because this is going to be relevant with the thing that we end on today. And I want you to remember what he told you. Now, a couple of quick notes before that as well. I want to talk about censorship here, because censorship, of course, on a day of freedom should be pointed out. Now, I was just censored in a lot of different ways, T-Lab, everyone else around us, but also an interesting development in regard to the way that they are now doing so. Now, we've talked about this, about the next step of how this will lead to direct violence, or so they will claim, which then leads to your words are in fact violence. So therefore, you are committing a violent act. Therefore, you're a terrorist. We can put you in prison. Now, people may laugh that off, but despite the fact that there's actual real world examples of that happening right now. But as I said, there it is. Content that could lead to real world harm. Here's the actual quote. This is from Twitter, pointing out Derek and I, the interview I did with Derek. And it's simply pointing and saying that this, one of the options, violent or misleading content that could lead to real world harm. This is what we were telling you was going to happen. This is alarming. And as I said, content or ideas, thoughts, and questions that you may have that could lead to real world harm. Now my wrong think is violence. And those deciding what constitutes wrong think are the very criminals who have been lying to us about war for decades. This is getting real, guys, despite the evidence. Very crazy. Now, here's I recommend that you listen to this, despite that this was the first interview that I did from the new office. So the audio was a little bit lesser than usual, and that will be fixed immediately once we get to the next part. But, and I also used a green screen. Nonetheless, it was a fantastic discussion. Really worth your time to see what is coming. In regard to what's interesting is there's not a huge crossover to COVID-19, except for the fact that's the basis for which this is being pushed. But it is about the Great Reset, about the technocracy. And it really shows you how much of an excuse, a justification COVID-19 is. A means to an end. Great interview. Now, the point is that there's censorship and it's happening everywhere. It's alarming. And what's crazy here is that this is what they're selling you. They're saying this link, Twitter is saying this link is dangerous. It says it may steal your information. It could be doing all sorts of stuff. Now, aside from the fact that we're literally talking about a website, The Last American Vagabond, that has, as you can clearly see, an active SSL, which means it's completely secure. And there's no way that could happen, even though they're saying that, as well as the fact as or the fact that I have this on a dedicated server with HostGator, which if you do, feel free to do your due diligence. If you want to know what that means, it's good. And it means that we have only this on one gigantic server with nothing else. It is ridiculous for them to claim any of this stuff. Now, who knows? Maybe there's some secret thing behind the scenes that we're doing and they're telling you that, right? But guess what's interesting that somebody just shared with me? Thank you to, I wanted to give them a shout out. Oh, here it is right here. Okay. Mark shares this. Only Twitter finds this unsafe. Virus Total shows a clean sheet in regard to The Last American Vagabond. Even Google Safe Browsing says that the TLAB site is clean. I'm aware it's about unfettered censorship, not online safety. I just found it interesting. Thank you, Mark, for pointing this out. And he's right. Because you know what? You could do this for yourself. Look at what Google has to say about The Last American Vagabond. Guess what? No security vendors flagged this URL as malicious. Isn't that strange? And guess what? Every single one that you will find will say that there's no problem. Every single one of them. And you could do a lot more than just this website. The community tab, the link, or it was this one, the details. Or it doesn't even matter. The point is, guys, it's pretty stupid and ridiculous that we have groups like Twitter who are just making things up. They don't like BitChute. They don't like OffGuardian. They don't like TLAB. And they just go, oh, well, that's dangerous now because we say so. Well, shouldn't they have to verify? Shouldn't there be some level of metric or verification that says, oh, here's why that you can prove, even though you can literally look and see that even Google says that the site's safe? It's about information. It's about the flow of information, just like Mark points out. This has nothing to do with your safety. But I think we should know that by now. But I just want us to recognize on a day of celebrating freedom, as Twitter is actively censoring things they disagree with and naming that freedom. This should bother you as these sycophants out there and the jingoist people, the overtly and overly patriotic, like to a sickening degree, people out there that are doing this to where, and if you aren't there with your flag shirt and you're screaming and everything that you're a bad person, these are blinded people to the statist mentality. Now, it's not wrong to support your country, but people out there and by and large doing this today are people that are blindly supporting their subservience to that power, whether they even realize it or not. And understand, I am not demonizing the act of being patriotic. It's what's actually happening under that guise today. That's what we're really talking about. And all this comes back to the idea that we are being manipulated from the actual information that would make the reality clear to those same people. I mean, it's just all comes back to the same concept. Now, going forward with this, there's plenty of other people we're seeing this happen to right now. Frank Analysis just got a 7-day suspension on Twitter for pointing out facts. Facts. And I'll show you right now. Here's what he responded to. This person said, I'm so scared for young, innocent people who are vaccinated. There are people who told me the vaccine has been around for 10 years, which is simply ridiculously. I mean, we've talked about this a million times. They've been researching mRNA. It's mod RNA. I always get off on these points. It's not, you can look it up on their own documentation, which means modified RNA, and they're all lying about it today, but who added to the list. But the point is they've been working on mRNA vaccine technology for a long time. And it's been really, really, really damaging up until now and still is today, but they're just not really showing everybody that. The point is that that's why they didn't work over and over and over. Why? Really high side effect issues. And you know how they fixed that? The lipid nanoparticles and the increased dose. But guess what they didn't do? They skipped the animal trials when they did that and then said it was good. And the animal trials is where you would have found that out. It's obvious to see how this went. The point is, the 10 years have been around. That's not true. This new iteration of this was tried after fail, after fail, after fail, and they rushed it through. Now, you could argue that it succeeded, which that's just a subjective opinion, ignoring the reality of the data they showed us. But the point is that that has nothing to do with safety trials. You could be working on this for the last 50 years. Once you make a product, you don't then just jump past safety trials because you've been studying it for 10 years. You do safety trials. They didn't do that. They jumped past for after a couple of months, and anybody honest can point this out. The illusion of that 10 years before skip safety trials is what ignorant people that don't understand what they're talking about will repeat because they've been told it's safe. And the point is that this person is concerned. And Frank Analysis stepping in to try to calm that person or at least give them some facts to make them feel less concerned. He steps in and says this is exactly what he was censored for. That's a claim they make. But those experiments with mRNA vaccines were for the most part negative and weren't even the strain of COVID. And he's right. They were negative. They were that, but look, there's no, I don't know what part they're trying to pick out here to say they were most negative. It's clear because they stopped them. Because why? Because they were hurting people. That's why they didn't go to the further next stage. They stopped because the side effects were too high. I don't know what you would call that other than negative. It didn't succeed and it hurt people, or at the very least caused side effects, which is why they stopped it. Are we all clear that that's a negative thing? Okay. So going forward, wasn't for COVID. Exactly. Right? Or are they pretending COVID existed back then when they're trying it before? So that's obviously all valid and easy to look up. He then says, we don't know how it affects young people. Okay? We don't. And this is the thing, if they're literally currently doing testing, how in the world can they pretend that we know what they do? And see, this is just where they get into talking points versus reality. We don't know what it does to young people. We don't know what it does to pregnant women. By the way, I'm going to go ahead and jump in and say, we don't know what it does to literally anybody, but that's my opinion. And I'm not going to put that on Frank Nellis, but he says people with allergies or people who consume certain substances in the long run. You know what? Every single thing he just listed is cited in the FDA documentation. Every single thing. They still don't know. Even the World Health Organization says that we shouldn't be given this under 18, or that we need more research to do so. Pregnant women, it still says it in the documentation. People with allergies, it literally says on there that allergies is something. The point is, guys, all of this is verifiable. But guess what happened? They censored him. This is the reality of where we are today. I know all of you know this, but what's really alarming is that I think it's really mostly two camps. People like you that see that this is crazy, and people that actually know that it's not okay, but don't care because they believe in the political agenda. And then there's a smattering of people in the middle, I think, that just are swayed one way or the other. But I genuinely believe that a lot of people that are driving this forward realize that this isn't even accurate. They don't care that he's saying something true. Accurate that it's being censored, I should say. They just care about the agenda. Get you vaccinated. Great reset. Because that's what they've been told is the virtuous political thing to do. And they're saying he's spreading misinformation, misleading and potentially harmful information. Every single thing he said is easy to verify. I mean, it's just baffling that we can even be here right now. That's the tweet. I mean, it's like, these are the points where it's like, it's real easy. I could have said this point in like 10 seconds. I just can't walk past this. It's like, it makes my head spin that we're all watching this happen. And it's just, I don't even know how, it just blows me away. And Spiro, same thing's happening to him. We've temporarily limited your account features. I believe Spiro's in the chat right now. It's kind of insulting to the, we're watching people be censored for expressing themselves on a day when we're celebrating our free expression. Isn't that pretty stupid? But see, this is the lie I was just talking about. All those people waving and screaming and telling you that you're a bad person for not doing that have no idea about the reality of the gulag being built around them right now. But that's what we're trying to fight for. And this brings us back to the part about extremism. The tweet that we showed you in the beginning, the part where they're telling you that this discussion, in fact, very, very valid, sourced and objective discussion, is dangerous and could lead to real world harm because the government is scared by you expressing these facts. But that's what this is leading to. And this is what Real Eyes Realize told me, tagged me on this on July 2nd. This was the day I did this. And I was talking about this like some future point. Or maybe the next day, saying this is only one step. Next step down the line is going to be, you know, reporting your neighbor as an extremist, right? And I was thinking that's going to be coming. There it is. Boom. Exactly what we're talking about. And they said, you just talked about it. Oh, last night. So this was the next day. This is what we're seeing here. This is the tweet. Are you concerned that someone you know is becoming an extremist? I mean, I don't even know how what context in which this would pop up. So you're not the one, right? So they're saying, are you concerned? So here, you know what? I remember now. This is what's so alarming. So you're looking at somebody's content, right? So you look at somebody, like, let's say you're looking at a TLAV link. I'm sure they think we're extreme, despite the absolutely sourced material that I point to and verify everything I'm saying. Extreme! But you're looking and they pop this up and say, are you concerned about someone you know? Maybe this one you're reading right now? Right? Like, that's what this is. Like, there's some broad thing. Is there anybody out there you could think of? What about this post you're looking at right now? That's what this is supposed to be. So they want you to go, yes, report TLAV. He needs help. And then they can actually argue that we're doing this for his best interest. This is a welfare check we've talked about in the past, or better make it more clear, call it a wellness check. That we've talked about in the past, where the police have abused it, where somebody, they've been caught lying about it, where they go to your door, they kick in the door and they say, somebody reported that you were about to hurt yourself. Oh, by the way, now we see your guns in your pot. Come with us. You're arrested. right? This has been used. Or just simply the fact that people will call in and genuinely say, hey, my neighbor seems like he's doing something funky. I'm genuinely worried for his health. They then argue they have the right to beat your door down and arrest you for your safety. There's no way that's acceptable. And what happens if you shoot them when they break in because you think they're robbers? You're still the criminal. You see, this is incredibly dangerous. But the point is that they will use this to argue that you're in danger. Because all, can't you tell everybody's worried about you? Even if it's, who knows if it's bots or what else. This is where it's all leading. And look at what this person said. This is writer, editor, publisher of Discover Flux, which appears to be, it doesn't even matter. The point is, this is what people are saying. This is a genuine opinion, right? So, by the way, all she said was what? Right? I'm sure, I know how people on Twitter love to assume what you mean by everything, even though they're half the time wrong. But here's what he actually said. Well, right? Clearly because he thinks she's questioning it, which clearly she is, but it's just funny that it's like, well, do you support Paul Gosar, Marjorie Taylor Greene, or a host of other Christian supremacists with lots of fascist friends? So he's clearly on board for this, right? Because those people in his mind are like, they're extremists. He's clearly of the mind, I'm assuming, I wouldn't espouse this opinion on Twitter because it is my assumption, right? That he believes that she is at, that these are extremists to the point to where they're literally dangerous, which is the argument, which is the Domestic Terrorism Act, which is everything we've already talked about, that this is real world. There are words that lead to real world violence. So he is genuinely going, yes, because these people are dangerous. And here's what he says. Get this. I suggest actually obeying the Bible for once and committing to support God's chosen ruler, Joe Biden. Now, understand, this is not a joke. People really think like this, and they believe that this is because Republicans, or on the other side of it, the Republicans think the Democrats are the crazy mad extremists, and they're all pointing over there. Meanwhile, they all ignore that Biden and Trump and whoever else they trot out there are acting quick to remove everything you have. This is alarming, guys. They're pointing at all of us while you guys are all pointing at each other. I mean, see, you guys is in the two-party illusion. Right? And this is what Whitney said, as Derek has said, we've all been trying to yell at people about, scream, that we need to stand back and stop looking at each other because they don't care. The Domestic Terrorism Act was directed at everybody. Of course, the Republicans look at it because Biden put it out and said, of course, this is only going to be used against Republicans. That's what all of I heard every one of them say. Of course, the Democrats secretly believe, well, this isn't even going to be applied to us because we're Democrats, wink, wink, because that's the secret. Even though that's also not true, right? Everybody lost in the two-party illusion is going to wake up one day and be on the wrong side of what they thought they were supporting. And this is happening in real time, guys. Now, last point, just out of nowhere, I just had to include this today. This is really crazy to me. With all the stuff going on today, it's hard to get, you know, I very rarely get pulled into this kind of a conversation, but this is just crazy. This, bottom line, these are, what's the, in biological woman, women. These are biological women who are in the Olympics, who are being told because naturally, or basically it's, let's put it to make it as simple as possible. These are biological women being told that they aren't allowed to compete against other women because they have a higher level of testosterone, which means that they can be better than them at things or blah, blah, blah. I'm sure you already see the point here. How is that possible? How can we be literally saying, you're women biologically, but you can't compete against other women because of something that's happening in your body. However, this person over here can literally alter their entire body and have way higher levels of testosterone, but be allowed to opt. I mean, think about how ridiculous that is. Now, sure, I'm seeing they're going to probably argue that the same argument lower the testosterone, but the point is you can have natural biological men who turn themselves into women, whether you agree with that or not. And again, I don't, your body, do whatever the hell you want, as long as you don't force opinions or actions on me. But the point is that you're removing women from a situation where you're allowing biological men to compete. I mean, how in the world does this make sense? It's just, again, I would argue this is just something to completely rock the boat, but it's still worthy of pointing out because of how, I mean, schizophrenic is the right word for it. This is crazy. It makes no sense. And you know what? It's a perfect thing to happen right now, since literally nothing happened right now makes any sense at all. Scientific proof that means absolutely not. Like, this is just ridiculous. And it's like, nobody seems to care. It's all politics all the time, narrative and politics and virtue signaling, and nothing else matters. Even on the Republican side, by the way, it's all politics. Facts don't matter. Anybody in the two-party illusion, in my opinion, is completely lost by that right now. And this is probably going to make people spin out, because it really should in a way. But guess what you're missing while that's happening? Everything else we're going to talk about today, including the fact that Israel's still continuing to murder people illegally, which is not something that should be hard to talk about. And when I say that, it's because no matter what's going on here, the UN and Geneva Conventions has always maintained that occupied territories have a right to armed rebellion. So that means that because they still maintain that Palestine is an occupied territory, the United Nations, by the way, that means that they have a right to armed rebellion. So it doesn't matter if they struck first or Israel strikes first. The point is they have a right to armed rebellion because Israel's there illegally. So too is the U.S. government in Syria and Iraq and everywhere else. But you see, the facts don't matter, which is the point that I'm making. Of course, now we have protests taking place in the West Bank, not Gaza, by the way. And they call it clashes, which is what they always do. Robert's written about this. A Palestinian teenager in a protest, by the way, protesting against supremacy, was killed by an Israeli fire. So Israeli fire killed a teenager during what they call clashes. Great job, AP. Between protesters and Israeli troops. So you have military and protesters, teenagers. And yet that's a clash, right? It's wartime. No, it's not. This is an occupied territory and people that are fighting with rocks and slings against military equipment. But yeah, let's call it a clash. Now it says Mohammed Hamil, 15 years old, added that six protesters were wounded during the violence in the village of Beita, if I'm pronouncing correctly, which Robert's already talked about, near the city of Nablus, where dozens of Palestinian demonstrators against the expansion are demonstrated against the expansion of a nearby Jewish settlement at the expense of their land. And this is what Robert already talked about. These are this Jewish settlement, and of course, AP would really never get into the facts, right? The fact that they've been voted at by the Israeli government or Israeli judicial system to be removed. They're not allowed to be there by the United Nations, or by the international law, and by their own local government. But guess what happens? Nothing. They stay there. And they're allowed to, right? So if it's Palestinians that are voted out, well, of course, they violently remove them and demolish everything. But when Jewish settlers are occupying a territory that they're not allowed to be in, even according to the Israeli government, well, nobody does anything, right? And so now we have people protesting that they're not leaving, even though the law says they should. And what happens? The troops come out and hurt the Palestinians. Now, anybody want to make sense of that? Anybody want to argue that that all makes sense? If you're doing so, then you don't care about the facts. This should make you sick, because this is what's being allowed by all the people out there screaming freedom, right? Celebrate our freedom from tyranny while we impose that tyranny on literally everybody around the world, including you, by the way. Speaking as the government. But it says, Robert reporting, and this is on today, in fact, reports emerging from Syria that a missile strike hit Deir ez-Zor, Syria, where U.S. troops are based. The U.S. is illegally there. Now, this is going to lead to exactly what we always talk about. This is just to reiterate. This is the same. You know, by the way, can we all note that it's odd there was this weird gap of those random Arai missiles that hit near a U.S. base that were used to justify attacks? It's funny how when there's other things happening, those just kind of get quiet. And then the moment there's a lull, they're like, oh, look, another Katyusha rocket that we can blame on Iran that came from somebody that we provided it with. Blah, blah, blah. That's my opinion, of course. But the reality is that there's obvious manipulation here, and never, ever, ever any proof of their claims, ever. Now, of course, we also realize that they're illegally, as he said, occupying oil fields, illegally holding a third of Syria with the SDF. According to the United Nations, but who cares? Because freedom, right? Recent U.S. strikes seem to have escalated tensions, though. Now, going on, just a quick run through of his feed. Israeli settler extremists have shot and killed an unarmed Palestinian man, which was what we were just talking about. Gaza being attacked on the 3rd. Israeli airstrikes hitting Gaza, right? The most densely populated civilian area on the planet, or one of them, half of which are children. But yeah, we'll just indiscriminately bomb the area because that's freedom, right? That's all about freedom today, 4th of July. And it's all about doing it in a way that's absolutely documented as a clear war crime. It's called collective punishment, right? The freedom to do that, rock and roll, right? Now it says, just because it's not the Western news doesn't mean it's no longer happening. Exactly. But no one seems to care. This is as of this again yesterday, Massive Israeli strikes pound multiple areas in Gaza. Again, just, you know, there's civilians everywhere. And we've already shown you this, despite when they always say we hit Hamas and we hit this. I'll show you pictures every single time of the children crying and the women picking up their broken things. It happens every single time. Reportedly killing one and injuring others. Still awaiting confirmation of the death toll. Armed factions are shooting at the attacking Israeli warplanes and drones now. Reports emerging 3 hours ago from Syria. We just read that one, you know, and I, as always, recommend you keep track of what Robert is reporting on because he is attuned. And Sarah Abdallah does a great job as well, keeping up on what's happening in real time. Now, that being stated, what else is happening that's being covered up by the other discussions? I want to make sure I shout this out before I move forward. This was one of the documents that, oh, here, let me just show you the top. This is going into COVID-19 discussion. One of the documents that we've talked about I knew I was going to do that. I was going to write it down. The doctor that we just referenced, the thinner looking guy with the gray hair, was waving the document in the air saying, here's a study from 2015 talking about shedding. Now, here's the document. I wanted to make sure we include this because we've already covered this extensively. And all this does is confirm what we've already told you. Design an analysis of shedding studies for virus or bacteria-based gene therapy. Now, you can see in this document that it's not some hypothetical. This is literally what they were doing. And that's what he was saying. And you can read through this for yourself. The focus of this guidance is shedding studies. And by the way, they were talking about exactly the kind of put it this way. Bacteria-based gene therapy we're talking about the mRNA injections. That's what these are. The focus of this guidance is shedding studies, including both how and when shedding data should be collected and how shedding data can be used to assess the potential for transmission to untreated individuals, right? The mainstream media will say the fake news, like that's just a ridiculous conspiracy theory. But we studied it and found out ways to stop it, right? That totally makes sense. The number of patients here, the shedding as a percentage of the total patients in the study for each sample type of, I mean, it's obvious that this is something they were concerned enough about to study it, spend money on it, and find ways to stop it, which is exactly what he pointed out. I'll leave it here for you to research more. I've gone over this in two different shows you can talk about or watch, research, spike protein shedding. This was from May 30th, 2021. And here's a follow-up. Don't shed on me, COVID vaccine shedding. And we go over this April 30th, and both of which have follow-ups and different information that show you quite clearly that this is absolutely happening. And even according to Dr. Warren, I believe, one of the inventors, one of the discoverers of mRNA to begin with, is openly saying on Twitter that this is clearly being able to be shed. He tends to think it's not dangerous, but doesn't mean that's maybe he's right. I disagree based on the scientific research that's already been done, not because of my opinion, but because of other experts that have actually in-depth studied that topic and said clearly these things are cytotoxic. They're clearly causing a problem. Salk Institute will tell you they literally alone can cause disease. So if he's telling you it's absolutely being spread, and I can show you the scientific study that says they clearly can come through your sweat glands, the media is lying to you. So too is the government. But as like everything else, they'll censor us, claim we're lying, say fake news conspiracy theory, while we're waving the peer-reviewed random controlled trials in your face. Jumping over to Biden and the mainstream media lying to you, which is ultimately the beginning, as much as we just spent a half an hour, 40 minutes going over that. So this is the COVID beginning of the point here. This hopefully will be a reasonably shorter show. I probably should have said that in the beginning. CBS News. This is a really crazy point to me. I mean, it just... only because of how clearly they must know that this is an obvious lie, right? I mean, it either means that CBS and Biden are so completely snowed by the narrative, and that just means they're a bunch of useful idiot lackeys, which is certainly possible, that they just don't know that it's not approved. But they're literally claiming that this woman, the first woman to get this injection, was the first one to get an FDA-approved COVID-19 vaccine. I couldn't even believe this because I'm like, that's just dumb. It says, but CBS News, nurse who received first FDA-approved COVID-19 vaccine will have her scrubs and vaccine card displayed in the Smithsonian, which is just dumb anyway. But what's funny is at first I was like, okay, maybe, I mean, do my due diligence, which we always should do. Maybe it's that they just approved something that I missed it and this person got it or blah, blah, blah. But that's not what actually happened. As I said, do you realize this is medical misinformation? Or you do realize it's medical misinformation, right? CBS News, did you just not care to do your due diligence? Or do you just always blindly report what you're told? Either way, this is not FDA approved. And I think you damn well know that. Clearly, you don't care about facts. Now, here is the one from April 6th. As you can see, there is no US FDA approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. This is the FDA sheet of April 6th, 2021. It's pretty obvious, right? So here is the most up-to-date document. This one being from, I don't want to alter my screen size again here. This one being from June 26th, if I remember correctly, June 25th. June 25th revised, right? This is the FDA document, as you can see quite clearly. And it very clearly says, there is no U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. So how is this even possible, right? How can we be staring at them saying this? Biden and CBS News saying FDA approved. Because they're lying to you. Because their effort is to create the illusion for people that it is approved. With and maybe just coming back way later if they have to and saying, oh, our it was a typo, our mistake. If that even happens. The point being that they don't care because the people, when they say our mistake, the people that want to hear the narrative won't even care about that part. They're convinced it's approved. And they already do, by the way. Also remember that in this document, it also says very clearly that these are mandatory. That these things that they have to tell these people, right? It's important that they relay all of this information. Now, there's a part in here where I just don't want to find it again. But the point is, it's in bold and says these are mandatory. One of them is that they need to tell them that it is not approved. So, as always, as there's a thousand other points in this document, they're not following the rules or the law in this fact. So all the people out there who got an injection from somebody at Walgreens, the Waffle House, or wherever else they're going, they're not being told it's unapproved, which means they're violating this rule. All right. I mean, it's just, let's make sure that's very clear. Now I said, so apparently neither CBS nor Biden are aware of the verifiable fact that none of these experimental injections are currently FDA approved, or maybe they just don't care. Either way, this is what medical misinformation actually looks like. And you can see that it hasn't changed. Here's the one from May 10th. Here's the one we just showed you from June 25th. This is the one I had on my phone when I tweeted it. So it's the one from April 6th, but whatever. Just the point is, it's the same and it's not approved. Here's the actual article itself. Nurse who received first FDA approved COVID-19 vaccine will have her scrubs and vaccine card displayed in the Smithsonian. As it says, and this is just creepy, by the way. I just don't understand what people here. This is what Biden said over the past. I don't believe this 30 years. She doesn't look 30 years old. What a creep. She's pursued her dream of becoming a nurse to allow her to do what she wanted to do most. Give back to her new country. Because she came over from Jamaica. Of course, it's not an accident they chose this person. It says, if there are any angels in heaven, having spent a lot of time in the ICU, they're all nurses, male and female. That's just clumsy and weird. Doctors let you live. Doctors let you live. This guy is struggling. Nurses make you want to live. I just find that to be weird in so many different ways. But here's the point. Lindsay was vaccinated on December 14th, shortly after her first dose. She said she felt hopeful and relieved. Now, in case you're thinking maybe this, you know, it couldn't be a December. There's only one December 14th that could be. But just in case you're not sure, here it is. December 14th, 2020. Here's the tweet itself, December 14th. There she is. So is anybody confused about the reality that on December 14th, 2020, we're very obviously there was no approved injection? So why are they lying about it? Better yet, why are they getting away with lying about it? Isn't this medical misinformation? Obviously it is, but you see how it only errs on the side of removing things that they don't want you to think. They don't want you to think that there's possible side effects, but they clearly want you to think it's approved, even though it's not. So it has nothing to do with facts or the truth. It simply has to do with the narrative they're driving in. Here's an example shared by Alan McLeod. And this is just a point, not COVID related, but just how ridiculous it is that these mainstream people are just a bunch of repeaters, a bunch of stenographers. They're propagandists. More bank holidays? Oh, please give us a break. Eva Wiseman for The Guardian 4 years ago. Clearly, we're strong opinions and jump forward to today. Burned out. What we need is a new bank holiday. That's just so stupid. Now, it's a part that it's not an important discussion, in my opinion, but it just shows you that they're just meaningless nonsense. And as he points out, the problem with the Soviet Union was that journalists wrote whatever they were required to. And I said, great grab. This is just so obvious today. You either choose to be honest with yourself or you play two-party politics and choose to ignore it for one reason or another. But these people are simply propagandists in every sense of the word. Two-party illusion. Now, moving in back into the COVID discussion, despite that it's an experimental unapproved, and just in case you didn't see the other part of that, that it's obviously also experimental, which we've shown you a thousand examples of this, but this is the NIH saying it in 2021 that it's experimental. But just so we're clear on that, but here is a really crazy story. This is a judge that actually sentenced a man with the max, or threatens a person with a maximum sentence, or get the injection and we'll slap you on the wrist. I'm not even making this up. A gun and drugs charge, and yet the judge used the injection as a way to... Is anybody going to pretend like this isn't completely orchestrated? Or at the very least, and you'll hear what he says, that this judge is so hyped up with the same thing everybody else is, that he believes he's doing his part, which is what he says. Do you realize how unprecedentedly off... I mean, how in the world does a judge think he has this power? He doesn't, by the way. But this is the crazy world we're stepping into, where they've all decided that vaccines are just the best thing in the world. Why wouldn't you want one? And if you think otherwise, you're a crazy madman. Even the judge can tell you to do it because it's all in the best interest. This is what it looks like to have such a broken society, such a socially engineered, propagandized society that this happens, that people are breaking. This is a scary, scary step, that if we can have it handed down by a judge.
Common Pleas Court Richard Fry tells me he started using the COVID-19 vaccine as a term of probation in his courtroom last week, but not for everyone. He ordered it three times out of 20 different sentencing hearings. I did talk to one of those three offenders today, and he tells me he feels very strongly about this and feels that this order violates his civil rights.
What happened? 1 week to the day.
The case was about... a gun charge and some drugs.
Franklin County criminal offender Sylvan Latham tells me he stood before Common Pleas Court Judge Richard Fry.
I know Judge Fry's reputation. I know he's known for giving people max time, jail time, all that. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to have 5 years probation.
Latham thought his attorney struck a deal with prosecutors to 3 years probation. But during his sentencing hearing,
I was stressed out right then. I didn't know what to do. I was very much so put on the spot.
Latham said the judge told him he'd give him the 5 year max unless he got a COVID-19 vaccine.
Wow.
With the shot, Latham said his probation would be cut down considerably to just 1 year.
I'm shaking at this point. Like, I don't really like where this is going.
So ask yourself this, guys. So I'm in no way like, the last thing I'm going to be concerned about is a drug gun charge. Just my opinion, personal stand. I don't know why this is something we'd be focusing on unless it was done. And well, again, let's put that aside. The point is, the context is gun and drug. Oh my, the big bad criminal, right? That's what our society and our government tells us. They're the bad guys, right? Let's put them in jail for cannabis charges, which, by the way, I don't get off on that point. There's a lot of cannabis charge people arrested in our prison system for cannabis charges, despite what some people want to lie about or manipulate about. There's a lot, which you can see, look it up right now. It's overrun with nonviolent marijuana charges. It's disgusting. But we're told they're the big, bad, dangerous criminals, right? But get this injection and you can go right, but who cares? You're good, right? You're going to go to jail for 5 years, or you can get this injection and we'll let this dangerous criminal go right out in the streets and go back to life. Now, I'm not saying he's a dangerous criminal. My point is that's what they are making it out to be. But it's then okay to be a dangerous criminal as long as you get the injection? I mean, there's no way any of this makes sense unless you realize that they are wildly desperate to get this in everybody possible. They are sacrificing everything. As even RFK Jr. pointed out, all this conviction about our history is gone immediately the moment they need this in your arm. Gone. Who cares about experimentation? Who cares about everything we swore was the most important virtues of our life? Who cares? Injection comes out, all of it goes to the side. Oh, you're a criminal? Who cares? Take the shot and you're good. By the way, didn't we already see this in prisons where they said, oh, come here, criminals, take this injection and we'll let you out early, right? There is an alarming precedent being set here. Not just that this is happening, but that the judge feels he has the right to do this. And the fact that they are coercing, even through criminal action, medical intervention. This is one of the most alarming steps I have seen thus far. And this is not going to stop until we stop it. Judges are just people. This guy has clearly forgotten what he's there for, or he never cared in the beginning, to uphold the Constitution. He clearly doesn't care or never cared to begin with. And that is what we need to point out. I do believe there's probably judges in some degree, because you see certain rulings that go certain ways. I'd like to believe that some of them will still try to fight for the Constitution unless it's completely all broken, which is certainly possible. But we as the individuals have the power, or so they tell us. So at the very least, we need to try to stop something like this from happening.
In the moment, Latham agreed. Now his terms of probation state he must get the shot in the next 30 days and provide proof to the probation department. He has.
So now you not only have a situation where he's being forced to take it, he has to verify that he did, which then isn't, you know, so you have to think of the repercussions here. Now he's in the system. Now he's documented. Now he's tracked, pharmacovigilance, right? This is crazy. You can't make somebody do something like this, whether they're criminal or not, right? I mean, let's understand that just by, I mean, of course, we've tried to change that over the years, but just because somebody commits a crime, I mean, let's realize that people commit crimes, even ones they get sent to jail for sometimes, that are accidents, manslaughter, let's say. And yet then we're pretending like they have no constitutional rights. Obviously, that's crazy. But this is the world they've pushed us into, where they've continually justified, rationalized one more slice down the line, one more thing you don't get to do because free, because safety, because convenience. Oh, well, we're going to do this for you, but now you can't do that, right? It's one more step. Now they're happening every day, one more, one more, one more, because something is being rushed through. This needs to be a marker for us.
Your future in his hands. Do you feel that's an overstep?
I feel like it is an overstep, especially when he asked me, would I get it? And I said, I really don't want to get it.
I spoke with Judge Fry by phone. He tells me of the three cases in which he ordered COVID-19 vaccinations.
So it's happening more than this, right? This is not just one guy. This judge is taking it upon himself. Now listen to what he says about his reasoning.
None of the offenders said they had a religious or medical objection.
Now, guess what? Did he even ask them? This guy doesn't care, right? He's already decided the injection is what's important. And so he'll just leave that out. He'll assume, well, you would tell me if you had one, right? People don't know what they're supposed to do. Look into this for yourself. This is being stated as a mandatory thing, or you get max sentence. And then they're supposed to go, but I have a medical exemption. Do you even, why would you even think that would change anything if he's coercively forcing this on you based on a crime? This guy doesn't care.
He said this is him doing his part to inch the community closer to herd immunity.
He says exactly. Something about a new Delta.
Inched people closer to herd immunity. Oh, you mean with an injection that doesn't stop transmission during a time when the narrative is becoming that the Delta variant doesn't change, that that doesn't work anyway, right? This doesn't make sense other than get it in your arm, because that's what we're supposed to do. The herd immunity nonsense that they've been pushing is completely off the table based on all of the current facts. Well, if that's even what was happening with this dangerous thing. The reality was, as I've shown you many times, I'm not going to jump into again today, is that the scientific research around this topic that they pretend to trust but aren't looking at has continually told you that the majority of people in this country had, even infected or not, had antibody reactivity before this because of other factors in regard to the flu, in regard to the cold, and other things they've already talked about. On top of that, they've shown you that people who had this naturally have antibodies potentially for the rest of their lives, while they're then saying that the injection may last 8 months. Why are we even pretending? Because this guy is part of this, you know, because that's an agenda, being paid one or the other. That's always a possibility. Or he's just snowed by the agenda like everybody else.
To strain out attacking like black people, but
community closer.
Oh, that's right. And of course, the judge happens to say that this certain strain is out there attacking black people. Right. Because that's scientifically supported? No. It's ridiculous. And he's clearly trying to coerce this guy by telling him things that will make him say yes.
To herd immunity.
He says something about a new Delta strain out attacking like black people, but I haven't had any symptoms. I told him I've been fine. Like, I just went to the hospital for strep throat and they didn't try to give me the vaccines.
Okay, how about he already had it and didn't know it? Now, again, as always, I'm not arguing that that's what I believe. But from within the narrative, right? The argument is that you have this. People have it. People don't have symptoms and blah, blah, blah. Now, remember what the scientific research showed us? That if you have had this and then you get the vaccine, well, that can cause damage. Now, that was mainstream science, by the way, guys. So, did the judge ask him if he's had it before? Does he care? Is he going to get a test beforehand? Oh, a test that would probably give a false positive anyway, right? I mean, it just gets convoluted and ridiculous. But nobody's doing, like, outside of the COVID-19 mania, obviously, there would be things that would matter. Like, are you taking medications that might be a problem with this experimental injection? Or how about the fact that it's absolutely off the rails to mandate an experimental, unapproved anything, whether for a crime or not. This is just crazy. And we're the ones being called maniacs for pointing out that it's crazy.
Latham tells me he's not trying to get out of punishment for his crimes, but also doesn't feel injections into his body
right. Should
be part of the time.
It's not.
Yeah, obviously.
Like, how do you, that's my health.
I mean, this is so crazy that this is a contentious discussion. This is off the rails, guys. Bottom line, unapproved, experimental, anything cannot be forced, coerced, mandated, whether international law, UNESCO, or U.S. law itself. It's not possible. They're just doing it anyway. Judges are telling, mandating it. You have to do this or you go to prison. This just shows you what a dangerous place we are in, guys. And as this person points out, here's the question. How does getting a COVID shot relate to the crime he was charged with? Right? If it doesn't, then this judge has no business sentencing people. Right. And this guy says, haven't you heard? Vaccinated offenders are less likely to reoffend. It's science. Priceless. And you know what? It might as well be, according to these people, because that's as ridiculous as everything else we're seeing. And this is what we're actually seeing happen over and over and over and over and over and over and over all over the place. Now, I don't care if that's just 2% of the entire population. It's far, far, far too much. And that's at a time when a far less percentage of the population is, in fact, actually being affected by whatever they're calling this happening. This is another person dealing with this problem. And horrifyingly enough, his little child was the one that got the phone and got this documented. And you're not even going to believe what people want to say about that after they hear what he said. But just pick this. This is what this person is dealing with. Do you remember when this was happening in the beginning and everyone said, that's not real. I have fake news. Right. Until it happened so many times and we had all the verification, anaphylactic shock or the Bell's palsy, or just the fact that your body is seizing up because of the injection of gene therapy with other dangerous things you just put in your body. Imagine how terrifying this was for the child. There are nurses trying to tell you about this. Del Bigtree interviewed three of them still twitching and seizing on the stage months and months later. Despite them telling you, oh, no, that's just a little side effect. It'll go away and you're good. It means it's working. It means it's working for you. As he said, thanks to my brave little man, he hit record on his phone and ran to his grandmother's house to get her for help. Now, clearly, this seems to suggest that the phone is sitting there because it's not moving at all. First of all, right? So he quickly hit record on his phone and then ran to get help. Right. Okay. Which is, by the way, probably exactly what he should have done. You could argue that maybe, that recording moment, the moment that he took to do it, or maybe it was longer than that, might have been better to get help first. But how about the reality that we're in a situation where people are trying to say they're having an issue with stuff like this and being called crazy? If you don't get this on film, they're going to say you're crazy. You think the vaccine did this? You're nuts. It's in your head. Just like that woman said to the child that literally had a tube going through her nose. And they go, oh, it's in your head. As you've been in the ER 14 times. This is really happening. So the point is, the reason I'm saying that is because this person says, don't call 911, grab my phone and record video instead. What an ass. Why would you even say that? Like, so you care more about making fun of this person struggling and the child's terrifying situation they just went through than actually realizing that you should be sympathetic to what they're dealing with? No, because they're, you know, what's the right word for it? Tarnishing the vaccine altar that you bow to. So suddenly you're going to attack them for whatever you can. Don't call now. How do you know he didn't first? Let's assume everything, right? Because vaccine good. This person said his son hit record, most likely for proof of what his father is going through. Exactly. His father was probably convinced he was helping society because of the propaganda. Don't be so cold. He said, I'm aware of what happened, as it's written in the post. But usually when someone suffers a medical emergency, the first thing you do is call 911, not record a video, then run out of the house. He didn't need proof. He needs medical attention, right? This is because this guy is angry. This is again, my opinion about the reality of what he's going through. Now, the reason I say that is because you can quickly look at his discussions elsewhere and see that that's exactly what's happening here. Now, the point is, of course, you should get some proof, guys. Of course, you know what, whether proof or not, how about just to show the doctor what happened so you can actually figure it out? To assume that that didn't actually happen is just ridiculous. And the point is, this is what people deal with. They try to show people what they're dealing with, firsthand experiences. And you get jackasses like this that run in and go, you should have done this, or I call BS, which is what we're seeing. A woman sharing her story about her daughter being in the hospital. The only reason I don't show that today is because I can't verify it. It's, you know, Angela Nashville does a great job showing a lot of stuff, but sometimes she shows things that I can't verify. And I want to be able to prove it. I can't prove a screenshot half the time. Anyway, the reason I'm saying that is because I love her work. I just wish people would cite the link, just share the link. It's so important. But that was something I saw on her account. And the point is that this woman is struggling. Her daughter is struggling. And all somebody can do is share a meme that says, I call BS. What a bad person. I mean, just really, really bad. These are the kind of people that are all along with this narrative. Just in case you care, right? Here's medical care for Freddie getting a, you know, small $5,000. But of course, you get a politician that's fighting against some fake news two-party illusion, and they get $1 million from all you people out there still lost in the two-party illusion. Here's a guy literally struggling, can barely pay his bills and, you know, barely get by. It just pisses me off how many people on GoFundMe will leave people struggling, starving, and overflow money into politicians' pockets or people that are politically connected. But going forward, this point I was making, here's global news telling you no side effects after your injection. Oh no, don't worry. It's probably still working though. This is some of the most irresponsible reporting I've ever seen. This is medical misinformation. This is why you get things that happen like this and people don't do anything about it, because the media has convinced them that that's what's supposed to happen. And guess what? Some of them die, because this is a very serious thing you're staring at. And this could be indicative of blood clots. It could be indicative of all sorts of things that could be immediately lethal. But the media is going, just don't worry. Right? This is to suggest that the side effects are supposed to be happening. That's what this is. I don't feel, as well as the fact to kind of secondhand, you know, backhandedly make the argument that there are people out there, most of them that aren't getting it. I don't buy that for a second. Every single person that I've spoken to that's gotten this has had moderate side effects, at the least. Vomiting, bedridden, their arms so sore they can't move it. I mean, everybody, I'm not saying that's everybody. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that didn't. And I'm sure there's just as many out there that will lie and say they didn't, right? Because they believe in the gospel of vaccines. But they want you to think that this is what's supposed to be happening. They really do. They're going to keep driving this in to make you think that all of the horrific things happening to your body are proof that it's working. Meanwhile, here's another one. I believe this is in Russia, as people are waiting in line for the injection. Here comes somebody being wheeled out. Because that's totally normal, right? You always see that at the flu shot space, right? When you're at Walgreens getting the flu shot, you get the periodical guy that gets rolled out shaking controllably, right? That's totally normal. Didn't you read it? It's supposed to happen, right? And they all just stay in line because that's totally logical. Oh, I'm going to get in line now because I just watched that guy seizing uncontrollably because I'm smart. Got my mask on too. Looking good. It's schizophrenic. It's irrational. Meanwhile, in a lot of the places that we're actually talking about, who are still getting the AstraZeneca injection, God knows why, the Irish Examiner, and this, a huge shout out to this specific piece of journalism, because they did what we often do on this show. They saw the main study, which is this right here, that says benefit risk associated with different uses of the COVID vaccine. This is AstraZeneca, Vaxzeria, a modeling study. And of course, you'll find quickly that what they basically say is, let me just run down to the conclusion. Oh, yeah, it says it right here in the article anyway. What they basically find is our results highlight the clear benefit of the distribution of AstraZeneca towards population over 55, of course, right? So after everything they find, all they say is over 55 is great. It works great for people over 55. And they just happen to leave out the most important part of what the study actually found. Isn't that interesting? Now, why would they do that? You'll see in a minute. Now, why would they do that? Because I think they believe in the narrative and want to push that because it's an agenda, or they realize that if they say the bad thing, well, they're going to get deleted. They're going to get censored. They're going to get attacked. Just like, I wasn't going to talk about this today. Do I have it up still? Maybe I don't. The study that we recently talked about, it was MD, here it is. This one, right? That has been now, oh, that's not the right one. Shoot. Oh, well. Well, the study that we've recently talked about, maybe it's further on. Oh, there it is. Okay, good. Right here. So this one we've already talked about. The safety of COVID vaccines, we should rethink our policy. A peer-reviewed, excellent piece of research that was then attacked by politics. And first, all these people started to threaten to resign, all this different stuff, and then they retracted the paper. Why? Well, because they don't like what it says, despite the fact that they went through the proper channels and did the right things, and it was peer-reviewed, and it got published. But then, who cares? Because we don't like the facts. Right? I mean, this is what we're talking about. So then when you got people that see that and they're doing research, they go, geez, maybe we should just kind of pull back a little bit and not, like, the science is there. You can look at the scientific findings, but our conclusion will be, it's great. Because the media will just read the conclusion and go, good, you're on the right side. Good for you. But guess what the reality is? And this is why I'm saying Irish Examiner did a great job by actually pointing this out. Clot risk from 18 to 39s from AstraZeneca vaccine is twice as high as COVID death risk. That's actually what the data found. But they just say, they just kind of bunch it together and give you the average, say, oh, 55 is great. This is great. This is the current state of completely co-opted scientific research. And that's why people like James Lyons-Weiler and others we've mentioned are out there doing actual scientific research and peer reviewing without these groups, without the government involvement, without these institutions' involvement, which they claim makes it no longer valid. But what makes the peer review valid at all? The review of other experts, not the government sticking their fingers into it. That's what ruins it. So what James Lyons-Weiler is out there doing is actually doing the real research without the political influence. And that's what we should be looking at. But here's what the actual study finds. Oh, let me see. I don't think I had anything highlighted here. Okay. Here's the actual, the most important part of it. Balance of risk and benefit associated to vaxeria. And just so you, in case you're, it says it right here. Exists for the AstraZeneca vaccine. Oh, that was the title anyway. But I find it very telling that we've interestingly gone away from the real names of these injections. Right, so Vaxzervia is apparently the real name of the AstraZeneca injection. I find that interesting. I'm not sure what it means, but I want to remember, think about that in the future. In all distribution strategies, the number of COVID-19 deaths averted with the use of AstraZeneca in individuals 55 years or older was substantially higher than the expected number. Okay. Of deaths from specifically TTS, with, you know, thrombocytopenia, blood clots. So people over 55. Now, it says when Vaxzervia was used in younger age groups, right, which is the only group they're really targeting right now. Now, also remember that AstraZeneca and every group, a lot of them were basically suspended for people over 50 because of the problem. Like, how dumb is that? But anyway, it says when Vaxzervia was used in younger age groups, that's being aggressively pushed and coerced right now, children as young as 5, the benefit-risk-benefit was no longer as favorable. That's a nice way to put it. And even reversed in the younger age groups. For instance, using AstraZeneca in the entire adult population would avert 4 COVID-19 deaths in the 18 to 29 years old and 6 in the 30 to 39 year olds. But it would be associated with 12 and 9, respectively, deaths from TTS in these age groups, respectively. Right. So understand, 4 versus 12, or 6 versus 9, right? To be very clear, 18 to 29, you're talking about 6 deaths averted, but then it would be associated with 12, or specific. Anyway, the point is more, and that this is the idea of what they're telling you right here. Twice as high. So you get the AstraZeneca injection, you have your risk is twice as high. So why in the world would anybody take this? Now understand that there's also other things than just this risk of clots. We know that we have the concept of the nanoparticles. We have the concept of the spike protein itself and the plenty of other things they can cause. But none of this matters, apparently. Even as we continue, like, think about how every step along, we keep finding out more problems. They keep going, but don't worry, the benefits are still better. Don't worry, the risks are better. The risks aren't way, the benefits outweigh the risks. Don't worry, it's very, very rare. But remember in the beginning when they said that's all fake news and then slowly it came out? Now, how about when a month from now, the next thing comes out that they say was fake news today? How long until we can realize this keeps happening? We have gone step by step. It keeps worse and worse. Anaphylactic shock, thrombocytopenia, all, you know, I mean, we keep seeing it happen. But it's totally rare, though. I mean, it's just ridiculous. We keep going forward without realizing that the things they told us were completely fake have clearly come to pass. It's crazy. And then the study goes, you're good. 55-year-olds, you're solid. Great science. But the DOD is confirming the rare discussion that we keep having literally every day, right? Totally rare, but we see cases every day. Rare heart inflammation cases linked to COVID-19 vaccines. Now understand, this is the Department of Defense. We're not talking about children here. You know how we already knew that before, or you already knew it before? Because we already covered that before. We showed you the scientific research that said that between 18 to, what was it, 18 to like 40 something was where, or 50 something was the bulk of where these were. Not just children. But I guess the media missed that one in their extensive due diligence about the facts, right? No, they didn't care. They don't care about the facts. They care about the narrative. But you knew this already because you watched this show. It's not very rare at all. In fact, it seems like it's quite an issue that nobody wants to talk about, which is why they're now putting warnings on some of these things. But it's totally rare. Who cares, though? Benefit of the risks. Well, just in, Pfizer, and it's Pfizer being the one that has the most reported problems, despite the fact that they're pretending it's not there, because it clearly tells you that the mRNA platform, Pfizer and Moderna, was the whole point, which, by the way, is why we said in middle of 2020, when there was multiple things on the table, that clearly Pfizer and Moderna would be the ones used in the United States. Look it up for yourself, and what do you know? We must be psychic, right? No, it's because there was obvious conflicts of interest between Fauci, Moncef Salawi, and everybody else. And here we are. But we're crazy. Pfizer and its German partner BioNTech plan to ask FDA emergency use authorization for children 5 to 11. Right? Think about how crazy it is that we keep stretching the emergency authorization for younger people that don't need it, and they keep saying safe and effective. With all this time, couldn't it have been approved by now? Because you keep, if it's safe and effective, then it should be approved based on the definition of what approval means. No one wants to explain that. I can, though. It's because the emergency use authorization is why they're allowed to drive this in without the full safety data, without long-term studies, without all sorts of ingredients being fully verified. We've shown you all this in the show. Of course, the media just doesn't care about it. Health Canada adds a warning of very rare serious condition as potential vaccine side effect. I keep just piling it up. How many times have I said that so far? How many very rare situations piled together become not so rare anymore? They just keep happening. They'll keep saying this until they're forced not to. It's pretty embarrassing. Pfizer CEO, of course, says third COVID vaccine dose likely needed within 12 months. Oh, who didn't see that coming? Everybody in the independent media was telling you this, because that's always, I mean, again, it's almost ridiculous how many things that we keep being stated. I mean, it's funny because I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here. It's not just me. Half the independent media was on this. But really think, I mean, everything. Well, I mean, let's just be fair. Almost damn near everything that we have put forward about where this would go has come to pass. Not because we guessed, but because we looked at history, we looked at what they were doing, we looked at who was involved, and we gave you our educated estimate about where this was likely going based on what they've done before. And what do you know? I mean, it's damn near. I don't want to use psychic. I'm trying to think of the other word for it. It pretty much is, though, right? I mean, that's the joke, though. It's not. It's because we can clearly see this, and it's about looking past the illusion, the narrative, the two-party stuff. You're going to be forced another injection. Now, are you going to suddenly stop on the third? Are you going to maybe wait till you get to 7? Maybe on the 14th one when you go, okay, now it's too many. When are you going to stop? And just like Derek and I just talked about in the show, realize that whether you said no in the very beginning or you say no on the 14th iteration of this booster shot, you'll still be an anti-science, anti-vaccine conspiracy theorist the moment that you turn it down, even though you went along this far. Please tell me that will wake some of you up. Going forward, unvaccinated people are variant factories, infectious disease experts say. Fauci now saying 99.2% of everybody dying is unvaccinated. Where does that even come from? Now realize the only way, again, that they would know is based on the fact that they're already monitoring all these people. But the idea that only these people, it's just another way that they're obviously gaming the information. They already told us that they're the way that they monitor people who are unvaccinated versus COVID versus people who are vaccinated after the fact is diametric opposites. So it's no wonder we're getting different statistics on different sides of this. But at the end of the day, I don't know why we would trust anything that they're telling us. I mean, look, based on their own data, I can go ahead and say unequivocally that that's not true. Their own data is showing us that people under 50 are, by and large, pretty much not at risk from this. That's their data, guys, telling you that their information from the CDC is saying that people, I mean, under 25 even, 0.01%, it's basically non-existent. That's according to a 113 study meta-analysis of infection fatality rate on COVID-19. Children under 10, 0.0002%. Okay, so the point being, how if most of the population, at the very least half, I don't even know if that's accurate. I mean, how many people are over 50 versus under? I think it's more under. The point being, how is it possible that more people who are dying are vaccinated when most of the population is not even at risk? And then on top of that, most of them have probably already had what they're telling us we've supposedly had. And that lasts for a lifetime. And people before this had, even uninfected, had antibody reactivity. I've shown you all these studies myself. Add all that together, and this doesn't make any sense. It's because they're just naming it people dying from COVID, just like they did before. Meanwhile, people who are vaccinated, I'm sure they're going to go, well, it's probably pneumonia. Let's give it pneumonia instead. It's the same scam, guys, and we can see it happening in real time. All they're doing is coercively trying to scare people into getting this. And of course, the big push is that now you, not doing so, are creating the variants. Sorry, I jumped off on the Fauci point I made there. Fauci saying 99.2% of people are dying. That's what I was actually just talking about. But this one on the page here is the next point, variant factories. They're claiming that you not only are the most people dying, but you're also the ones creating the variants, which really doesn't make any sense. Because realistically, what we've already talked about, and a lot of experts have pointed this out, that the vaccine, the mRNA injections themselves seem to be creating this continual spread. How about the fact that what we're actually talking about is the spreading and shedding of these vaccine spike proteins that are in fact clearly dangerous based on all the scientific research? And then that gets named something else, right? How about the unvaccinated people are the ones getting issued by having an issue now because they're around these people that are there's a lot of factors here that are being ignored. The end of the day, to pretend that it's all your fault this continues is it could just as easily be a complete fabrication about whether these are even dangerous or even there. On top of that, it doesn't actually make sense to me because of all the data that we've actually looked at. Now, I'm going to get to the variants in a second, but this is the push they're trying to make, that you are the risk. Now, ask yourself why that would make sense if in the past, flu injections, that hasn't been an argument. Now, on top of that, now they're continuing to push in the idea, especially in Australia, that you just simply don't have a living anymore unless you get the injection. Oh, what are they giving in Australia again? Oh, that's right, AstraZeneca, right? Who cares, though? Who cares about the fact that all these people under 39? I just want to get the age correct. Yeah, under 39. A lot of them clearly having a job, right? Are people that are now being told you don't get pay unless you get injected, despite the fact that the scientific research literally just found that that's dangerous, that they have more risk than they do benefit. Isn't that supposed to immediately stop the emergency? Yes, it is, but they don't care. Just nice, a little incentive stick, right? No jab, no pay. This is the world they're building that's literally, in real time, ignoring the facts. This is what makes me laugh out loud. It's the fact that they're the ones actually screaming, trust the science, while they're actively ignoring what comes out. And here are Israeli children playing a game. And this is about coercively, this is about tricking them over time into thinking vaccines are fun playtime, right? Israeli kids are playing the vaccination game. The teachers pretend to vaccinate them. And then the kids are told to take their masks off and celebrate. This is gross, gross propaganda. There's nothing positive about this. And here is what we're seeing from the UN. This is actually an ad campaign from Norway. Do you realize how crazy that is? Because this is classic advertising, right? Sex sells, whatever you want to make this out to be. This has nothing to do with COVID-19. They are actually hiring marketing and ad managers to make ads for COVID. Why would that even be necessary? And why wouldn't it be a public service announcement? Why would it be some weird sexualized image of why COVID is good for you in some way that makes no sense at all? Because they're desperate. Because they are actively trying to jam this down your throat in every possible way. One, because most people aren't taking it, despite the lie they keep selling you. More than half of this country is still not injected, which means you are still the majority, and yet they don't care what you think. and that they're just trying to force this in because of some agenda that we can clearly see developing, guys. This is crazy. And Bruce Scott is right. Menticide, which is an interesting term I hadn't heard before, means, well, technically that's weird. I guess I didn't see that it said mind control. Never mind. I wanted to look up what menticide actually meant. Menticide means a systematic and intentional undermining of a person's conscious mind. That's pretty crazy. So I guess it does mean basically brainwashing. So what he says, as you can see in the meme here, TV, take the jab. Radio, take the jab. Government, take the jab. Corporations, take the jab. Top level celebs, take the jab. Mainstream media induced coworkers, take the jab. Billions spent on take the jab campaigns, quote, anti-vaxxers are brainwashed. Right. Because they're the ones that are blindly following the narrative. No, they're the ones. And this is what's funny is I'm not even claiming they're all people like RFK Jr. are adamantly not anti-vaxxers. They are supporting, which, by the way, makes a lot of people in our community uncertain about him. I think he's completely on the right side. I just think he still, it's the same argument I make. The idea that I believe that the intentions behind this effort are dangerous, whether now or before. I don't trust the people behind it. I'm not a scientist, so I take at face value what we're told the technology is around this. And I believe that if the right people were there, that maybe it could be a positive thing. The point is that right now, assuming we are told the correct information, the idea is that they're labeling anybody who's right after your 13th injection, you say no to the 14th, you're suddenly an anti-vaxxer. Does that make sense? But that's what would happen. But the reality is people that are questioning this are the ones that are actually doing their due diligence to a degree. Look at the MIT study about masks that very clearly found that the people that are challenging the science or the narrative are the people that are in fact embracing the science, that are looking at the broader discussions. And nobody cared about that. But this is the point. We are the dangerous ones because we are the ones looking at the facts. And this is the kind of, hysterically, ridiculous. I mean, this is FEMA speaking to you about hurricanes and why your injection makes that better. I mean, apparently it also makes makes your shoe size bigger. I mean, that's something just ridiculous. Like, this is just everything all the time. Like, it's the same idea as saying, oh, your toes hurt, must be COVID. Your eyes are blurry, must be COVID. It's every possible thing under the sun was COVID-19. Now everything under the sun is made better because of the injection. And that's not even a joke. As Miriam points out, another great, the Bee Lady, another great account that you should follow. The answer to everything is the jab, even how to fend off hurricane. She's not kidding. This is crazy.
Hurricane season is here and the time to prepare is now. In Louisiana, we know what hurricanes can do to our communities and the importance of having an emergency plan and taking the steps to ready yourselves, your family, and your community.
You can take simple steps to prepare for hurricanes, including getting a COVID-19 vaccine and building a ready kit with items and documents you need in case.
There's no logic. That's it. It's just put in because this is the point. This is everything. Everything is centered around this agenda. How are you not concerned about that? How are people out there that are buying this not wildly concerned about how obvious this is? I keep saying, like, jamming down your throat. I've never had a better moment for that analogy. This is so irrational and irrespective of the facts. I just keep pushing it to the side. Oh, hurricanes, get your injection because that totally makes sense. And they're all over there going, yeah, of course, because vaccines are good. This is alarming to me.
You need to evacuate. The best way to keep your family, your pets, and your neighbors safe is to have a plan. Visit ready.gov to begin planning today.
Just that's it. Hurricanes and get you. One of the best ways is get an injection that could put your life at risk while you're shut down with no energy and no possible way to get to the hospital. Right. Go ahead and take that thing that could put you into this is almost worse than saying 15-minute drive through, go home and you're good. And then 2 days later, as you completely have a anaphylactic shock episode and fall down the stairs and break your hip, which we already talked about, this woman happened at 14 anaphylactic shock experiences and still recommends the injection. No, get ready for a hurricane with something that could put you at risk during that problem. These people should be called out for this stuff. This is alarmingly, this is irresponsible. And now we're injecting animals that have no, we've talked about this in the beginning. They already went through this and said, oh, there's no science. There's no reason to suggest this actually makes sense, that these animals are even possible to spread this or catch it or whatever. But now the U.S. government is already administering COVID-19 injections with mRNA technology, with nanoparticles that are causing all sorts of things that we are now showing in real time that the experts are telling you can shed the spike protein. And here we are injecting it into a bunch of animals that are getting passed by a bunch of children and people every single day. It says the zoo primates will be the next to get the injection. There's just no logic to this, guys. This is alarming. And as Danny Rancourt points out, as it shows, this is just, and as person says, sadly, this is not a parody. Wear a mask because they can't. Right? Do we realize how clearly this science has continued to come out, that it's been talked about in Congress? We just showed you a recent one talking about the buildup of carbon dioxide is potentially three times higher than is actually safe for these children. This was a peer-reviewed mainstream scientific study. Remember the thing, all those fake news YouTube scientists were coming out and the doctors saying, fake news, the mask doesn't do this, look at my video. The scientific research has clearly put that to bed. So too did the ones from before this that I keep showing you up until now, but they didn't care about those. Yet here's a picture showing you that this child who is not at risk from COVID-19 is being masked because they're scared of something they don't understand. But they're saying do it because the animal. Oh, you mean the animal that you just injected that's supposed to keep them safe? I'm confused now. You just gave them injections. Aren't they supposed to be okay? Take the mask off, except we want the kids to do it. So we'll conflate those two narratives and pretend like it makes sense. Well, as Danny points out, we're keeping them in a zoo, but you wear a mask to protect them. Makes perfect propaganda sense. Well, of course, as Jeffrey Jackson points out, people are not taking this anymore. By and large, I would argue. As the article puts it, mayhem as Sydney crowds defy lockdown. Because remember, that's still happening, guys. Lockdowns are being put back into place despite your injection. Oh my gosh, how did that possibly happen? Well, of course, it's the unvaccinated fault, right? Which makes no sense whatsoever, but listen to the media. Mayhem or people who have had enough. People who have had enough. People are done. Even people who've gotten this injection, a lot of them, I think, just because they were told they wanted to go back to normal. Now normal didn't materialize, and they're going, okay, screw that. Well, Robin Minotti points out that this is still happening, even to the injected. And the point being that, of course, they're going to tell you the Delta variant is why, despite the fact that there's they're continuing to say this is one of the most virulent, but the reality of the actual science that we've already gone over shows you that this is not actually verifiably any more dangerous. This is what the people like Michael Yeadon and plenty of other doctors have pointed out, that these things, this is why they call them scariants, because it's not actually more dangerous, and they almost always aren't. 99.9% of the time, I believe he said. Now, the point is I showed you the video that showed you the overlap of the Delta variant and what we're told is supposed to be the fallout, which is non-existent. But they keep screaming because what they're telling you is there, that it's dangerous. But guess what? Guess what's actually happening, as far as I can tell, based on my research? People with the injection are the ones struggling. Now, that is probably because of antibody-dependent enhancement or pathogenic priming or whatever else, or just because this thing's dangerous and hurting people. Care home in Belgium, 119 residents, 95% vaccinated, 55 infected from COVID-19, 12 COVID deaths. Draw your own conclusions. Of course, they're telling you it's all the Delta variant, right? That's all it's about. But look at what this has to say. According to latest studies, the vaccine in use at present offer reliable protection. And they're right. That's what those studies are saying. So what's going on? You can't have it both ways, mainstream media. I don't buy that for a second. But ask yourself this. They're telling you on one side of this, and this is what their new pushed-in studies are telling you, that of course it gives you great protection. Meanwhile, they're continuing to say that the Delta is a problem because of unvaccinated. But you see how they play it both ways? Either you're protected or you're not. Clearly you're not, and this is the point, because it was never meant to do this, in my opinion. But even if you don't care about the Delta, just like they're already on the next one. They're already on Lambda. This is the second. July 2nd, fear is over the Lambda COVID variant. Uh-oh, remember when the WHO guy already told us this? They're going to go down the Delta. He even said that point blank. We're just going to go down the Greek alphabet. Even though we haven't any evidence that they're dangerous, now the variant threat is what keeps you on lockdown despite any scientific research. Isn't that sound scientific? Fears over the Lambda COVID variant hits the UK as unusual mutations that can dodge vaccines. Isn't that just a new way of saying the exact same thing? Yes, it is. Is this verified? No, read it for yourself. This is fear-mongering nonsense that's meant to keep you in fear and in place. Meanwhile, just showing a bunch of people in beds, because how much you want to bet you look up that picture, it's probably not even COVID-19. I don't even know if that's true. The point is, it's happened a lot where they just show you some old picture because it's just about fear mongering. Now, here is the main point that I want people to understand. And by the way, who knows? We're probably going to start hearing fireworks outside because we are getting close to that darkening time here. But this is an excellent point that somebody pointed out. Oh, and I'm glad I actually have him tagged in here. Kim Q Public. He says, T-Lav asked a brilliant question yesterday. Oh, and I guess I did trigger that question. I was misremembering. Anyway, credit to Kim Q for pointing this out. PCR tests only give a yes or no answer. How do they know what the variant is? Oh, that's right. That's what I'm remembering. So there. See, now I forget. Shoot, I wanted to give that person a shout out again. Somebody did tag me and ask this in a tweet, which I then shouted out on the show, but forgot. I don't have the tag in front of me now that Kim Q points at. That's why I asked that question. So I didn't think about this. And this is an interesting point. We've already seen this. We've seen Kerry Mullis talk about this. We've even seen people like Fauci allude to the same point, that PCR tests only give a yes or no, period. So how is it that we know what the variants are? Right? All we keep hearing is about all the numbers, variants, right? And I said, I really want to know. And shout out to the supporter who I credited in the show asking this. If we get a PCR yes or no, where are all the variant figures coming from? This person points out, and thank you for Michael for giving me this link. UK government says that new technology introduced in labs now tracks variants using samples obtained for PCR tests. But that's not exactly... thank you, Michael, for showing me this, but reading the article, it's a little more, what's the right way to put it? It ends up seeming that, and I'll show you right now, that the PCR test is still exactly what's being used. Presume this PCR test swab samples are put through additional process in the lab, which wasn't happening before. All right. Now that's not actually what this says. Thank you, Michael, for pointing this out, because this is really important. And the idea is that this is their, like, ask yourself this, if there was some new step or new technology, why wasn't that discussed? I don't think this is what's happening. The reality is the PCR test does not have the ability to do this. So how are we getting these figures? Here's what they're actually calling us. They're claiming COVID-19 reintroducing confirmatory PCR testing. Right. That's what we're talking about. The main rapid tests that are using widely are lateral flow devices, LFDs. And what they're saying is that these LFDs, these are the small things you can buy and do at your home. That they're using these by and large, and then they're stepping over into PCR when necessary. First of all, realize that still means the PCR test is being labeled and discussed as like the top is the best one, despite the ridiculously high false positive because of the way that they're using 40 plus cycle threshold only on the side of COVID infections, on the side of their so-called breakthrough cases they use under 28. That's an obvious manipulation. It's lying to you with data. The point being that a lot of people are getting these false positives, which builds up the numbers, and they're using the lateral flow test to start with and then going to PCR. And I don't understand how we can show you something like the 2007 panda epidemic that wasn't, which they literally point to the PCR test as the problem and say, we need to look forward about this and let this happen again. And then here we are using that exact test as the reason that this is, it's obvious that's the choice. But it says, however, as the prevalence of COVID-19 reduces to low levels in the population, the chance of a false positive result increases. What? Though still remains unlikely, right? Do you realize, is 30% unlikely? I don't think they understand the definition of unlikely. The CDC admits 30%. People like Dr. Scoglio, PhD, and plenty of others have done tests on live TV and showed you their opinion upwards of 95% false positives when using over 40 cycle threshold, which is what they're doing. Regardless, they're pretending that now that it's almost going away, now false positive is the problem. Isn't that interesting? So now it's like they're trying to apply the false positive to the breakthrough cases. I promise you that's what's happening. But it says, there is thankfully now a much lower prevalence of the virus across the population. And that's not because of the injection. It's not, because that was dramatically dropping long before that was even largely being given. They're just trying to claim that. It says, which is why PCR testing is being reintroduced to confirm all positive lateral flow tests. Exactly. So now they're bringing it back to use it as the confirmatory test, as the final step. How ridiculous is that? It says there are now additional benefits to doing this too. We are introducing new technology. This is what Michael was talking about in our labs to identify variants of COVID-19. So we can track the variants that emerge and spread in coming months, Okay. This is on March 30th. Do you realize that we were already talking about variants and telling you numbers of variants in March 30th? So how do we know before? How do we know what the variants were before? I can almost promise you it's because they just assumed, because we've been told that this current issue is right now, this is this variant, because that's whatever it's dominating, we hear, right? So then when we get a COVID test that says yes or no, they go variant. That's my take on it. But realize before March 30th, we had all sorts of variant numbers, despite the fact that they're telling you that months after this, they had still just been setting up what they're claiming is this undiscussed, undefined new technology they don't link to. Which, by the way, I can't seem to find anything, which makes me question if it's even actually there. Now, it says we can only do this with the samples taken for PCR. Isn't that interesting? So you take a PCR test that gives you a yes or no, then somehow use something new, which adapts that to find out if it's a variant? No. I wish Carrie Mullis was alive right now to laugh at that. Now, it says contact tracing will be triggered by a positive lateral flow result. So you're already being contact traced based on a test that they're claiming is less effective than the PCR, which is ridiculously ineffective in this context, but will stop when you get a PCR test, which can basically be a flip of a coin. If the PCR was taken within 2 days of the positive result. Okay, the point being, they're just kind of opaquely claiming new technology that's being added onto the PCR test. It is the illusion on top of the illusion. This is what's happening. Now, all the things that I can find are just other companies that are talking about just a new addition onto literally using the PCR test. They're calling it ddPCR, which, as it says right here, using either droplet digital PCR, ddPCR, or RT-PCR. Okay? They're using these different technologies that still use the test that we're already talking about. Then these are just companies putting this out. Now, both of these, by the way, are reasonably new. This is right here. This is April 23rd, right? So I find it next to impossible to believe that these things are just coming out. They unveil their new highly specific technology to detect variants. And suddenly we have we were talking about this in April, guys. They had numbers then. We've had numbers all the way up until now. We have numbers they can point back to. How did we get that? Can we all just admit that this is obviously some kind of an illusion they're playing just like everything else? It's clear that we're being told about variants that they are just probably estimating on. At the end of the day, I don't see how it's even possible they could have known the numbers when we're saying this is only coming out in March 30th. Just my take, but I think it's a valid question to realize that we don't know, and they're screaming that this is the case. Thank you for Kim Q Public and everybody else that brought this to my attention. Now, to finish off here, just a little bit of a technocratic point, two points to end off the show today. Spain's proposed national security law would allow seizure of citizens' property when? During a health crisis. No wonder. Of course. If everything centered around the upcoming health crisis that we have no idea is coming, right? It's the next thing they're going to use to put you back on lockdown. And of course, then they're already setting the stage to be able to just take everything from you. For your safety, of course. National security. Now, why would it be a national security law about a health crisis, right? They would have to do with their citizens internally, because this was always where this was going. This is the security state becoming the biosecurity state, which is all we've been telling you. The prominent Spanish daily El País is reporting a hugely alarming scenario in which Spain's central government is mulling a national mobilization and security law, which would compel citizens to, of course, temporarily, about as temporary as the Patriot Act, give up their rights in instances of future public health crises or emergencies, you know, whichever we choose, such as happened with the coronavirus pandemic. Of course it is, just like this thing, or however we blend that. Maybe the next one will be a climate crisis, you know, whatever we decide, but an emergency though. And we're going to tell you that we need to take your stuff because it's in your best interest. The law is currently at the level of a mere proposal, understand, but worrisomely, it would elevate matters of public health to the level of national security. Oh, just like they did with the foreign wars and everything else. They then became, because we claim national security, one, you don't get to know about it. Two, you don't get to FOIA request stuff. Three, we don't get to, everything we're talking about that they've done. War. This is war on your body, just like Whitney Webb was telling you. Your body is the new battlefield. Quote, any person of legal age shall be obligated to carry out the, quote, personal obligations required by the competent authorities following the guidelines of the National Security Council. When a state of crisis is declared in Spain, it says, in this case, all citizens without exception must comply with the orders and instructions issued by the authorities. That should be very chilling, guys. Spain, right? This is not what most people view as Spain or many of the countries we claim are on the side of freedom. This is exactly what the United States is pushing towards. This is what the Israeli government already is. This is what a lot of these governments, including the U.S., by the way, already are. This is developing in real time in front of you. If you think for any one moment this has anything to do with public health, you are lost about what's really happening right now. Just like RFK Jr. said in the beginning, this is what we are allowing, as his father told him. People in authority lie. If you don't understand that, you're lost in some childish illusion about the virtue of people in power. We're watching things taken from us right now, and it is time to put an end to it. And never am I advocating for violence unless you are directly being violently attacked or defending your property or your family. That's just simply the way I stand. But the point is, action is required, guys. We need to stand up, tell people what we think, make flyers, do a show, talk about it, go out there and try to call your representatives if you think that's necessary. This is not going to stop until we stop it. And this, by the way, perfectly aligned with the idea of this weird technocratic, complete biosecurity control panopticon that we're stepping into. Of course, with Israeli government leading the charge. New Israeli GPS nano drug busts inflammation, touted as antibody replacement. Oh, they're one step ahead. We're already past the antibodies, right? Now, why in the world would you bust inflammation? Why? Oh, because the injections are causing inflammation. But we're not going to associate those things. We're just going to pretend like that's for other things, as we're seeing an overwhelming situation with myocarditis, inflammation of the heart, or encephalitis in the brain, or inflammation of the spinal cord. All these problems we're pretending are super rare, nowhere to be seen, but we're making specific drugs that stop those things. Or we're creating specific training seminars in hospitals for people to deal with exactly these problems while acting like it's nowhere to be seen. We've shown you all of this. This is crazy. GPS nano drug that's going to be put in your body under the guise of fighting what their own drugs are causing. Nanoparticles tested on mice and unveiled in peer-reviewed research head straight to cells that are inflamed and either silence or edit the gene that is causing inflammation. Oh, great. I'm sure that has no lasting effects because the nanoparticles that we've already shown you 1,000 times clearly have long-term effects and build up in your organs, including your reproductive organs. And we've shown you that based on their research many times over, just the nanoparticles by themselves. Then we're talking about the concept of silence or edit. You know what that's called? I mean, we've talked about, like, even talking about something like Monsanto, for instance, we've talked about this before. This is genetic manipulation. If you're silencing a gene, this is exactly what they've been trying to do militarily for a long time. And now we're pretending it's for your health. This is a weapon, just like the insect allies and everything else that the world appropriately labeled as a bioweapon at the time. This is the same thing. This is the new direction they're driving you in, the new direction they're driving the medical future in, just like Carnegie and Rockefeller back with the Flexner Report and the AMA. That's something that already happened, driving us in a direction of the petrochemical medicine that was benefiting them, that had nothing to do with your health. And now it's the same thing we're seeing today. Hopefully, with people like the independent or with groups like the independent media out there standing up and continuing to point this out, maybe, just maybe, we can stop it this time. But that's what we're here for, right? And on days like today, where people are out there being told to hype up something that doesn't really exist anymore, at least in the regard that they're telling us it does, we need to fight for those people. It becomes all more important in that time to be able to stand up and talk about these things. Thank you all for being here, especially on a day like today, and continuing to spread this stuff, because we are in a fight for our lives. We're in a fight for humanity. And I think we all see that by now. As much as that's not hyperbole, people will try to make it out to be. Thank you for being here. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
My father told me when I was a child, people in authority lie. And we all, if we are going to continue to live in a democracy, we need to understand that people in authority lie. People in authority will abuse every power that we relinquish to them. And right now, we are giving them the power to micromanage every bit of our lives 24 hours a day. They're going to know where we are. They're going to know the money that we spend. They're going to have access to our children. They're going to have the right to compel unwanted medical interventions on us. We, you know, the Nazis did that in the camps in World War II. They tested vaccines on gypsies and Jews. And the world was so horrified after the war, and we signed the Nuremberg Charter. And we all pledged when we do that, we would never again impose unwanted medical interventions on human beings without informed consent. And yet in 2 years, all of that conviction has suddenly disappeared. And people are walking around in masks where the science has not been explained to them. They are doing what they're told. They are these government agencies are orchestrating obedience. And it is not democratic. It's not the product of democracy. It's the product of a pharmaceutical-driven biosecurity agenda that will enslave the entire human race and plunge us into a dystopian nightmare where the apocalyptical forces of ignorance and greed will be running our lives and ruining our children and destroying all the dreams and dignity that we hope to give to our children.